It was Sunday morning, September 18th, 2022. Dawn was breaking on the other side of the Sierra Nevada mountains as I headed east out of Fresno towards Kings Canyon National Park. I was about to see a sequoia tree for the first time in my life. I arrived that morning at Grant Grove. There was only one other car in the parking lot. The earth was still awakening as I stepped into the forest. Within moments, I was in awe before the third largest tree in the world by volume, 1,700 years old, stretching 268 feet into the sky, the world's widest known sequoia at 40 feet in diameter. I was entranced in worship. I pulled out my camera and recorded the following.
I'm standing in a church. Not all churches are made with brick, stone, and wood. Some churches actually are stone and wood. This one is wood. General Grant tree behind me there in Sequoia National Park. It's a place where whispering is very appropriate. It's one thing to wonder about something. It's something altogether different to wonder in something, to wonder in it. I'm used to hearing woods and pine trees, the sound that that wind in pine trees, the sound that that makes. But the wind cutting across these sequoias sounds like a river, the current of a river. It's constant. It's beautiful.
Come down from the stars, show your human scars. Tell me what it's like to believe. Through my Christ-haunted thoughts that the losses you bought are the nights that you peopled with your dreams. Well, I've got no answers for heartbreaks or cancers, but a Savior who suffers them with me. Singing goodbye, Olympus, the heart of my Maker, spread out on the road, the rocks and the weeds. Come down from your mountain, your high-rise apartment. Tell me of the God you know who bleeds. What to tell my daughter when she has so many questions, and I failed to feel her heaviness with peace. Well, I've got no answers for hurt knees or cancers, but a Savior who suffers them with me. Singing goodbye, Olympus, the heart of my Maker, spread out on the road, the rocks and the weeds. Inside my brain, and all the things I begged
Well, there you are, and welcome to one of my favorite seasons, autumn. I would love to have Autumn as a special guest, but the world is the only recording studio large enough to capture his or her presence, so this is as close as it comes. Now, I love every season, but there is something special about the fall. Delicious autumn, my very soul is wedded to it, and if I were a bird, I would fly about the earth seeking the successive autumns. George Eliot. At no other time does the earth let itself be inhaled in one smell, the ripe earth, in a smell that is in no way inferior to the smell of the sea. Rainer Maria Rilke. My birthday is at summer's end. My creator placed my bassinet on autumn's doorstep. I start listening to the Earth, Wind, and Fire song September on September 1st. Ba-de-ya-de-ya. My annual birthday playlist is sprinkled with lots of Rich Mullins and John Denver. And this year, Neil Diamond was added to the mix. It was 26 years ago that Rich died in a car accident on my birthday. If you don't know his name or his music, I encourage you to pause this podcast right now and get to know him. I believe history will remember Rich Mullins as the most influential contemporary Christian singer-songwriter of all time. I love fall. From equinox to eggnog, my heart and soul seem to revive during these next 3 months. Last year, I finally scheduled my yearly vacation during the season I love most, and for 2 weeks, I was in California hiking trails through forest. The first week among the sequoias, the second week trekking through the redwoods. I am grateful to God for granting me the health and strength to wander along the periphery of Eden, to walk with Him, brushing the glass darkly while remaining in our broken world. Even though a year has passed since my ambulations amongst the trees, I am still being fed by the experience. In my spirit, something was born in me that Sunday, September morn in that sequoia grove in Kings Canyon in the days that followed, and it has slowly been unfolding ever since. It bears the breath of fresh direction, of revisioning, of mystery I don't fully understand just yet. It has something to do with Jesus' Beatitudes, but even more than that. Have you discovered when God gives you a vision and you begin to imagine the vision, your imagination can't contain the whole of it? That God's unfolding of your story is so much more surprising than the limits of your little dreams? Am I at the right table here? My past few years have come with themes, like those you'll find on a Chinese calendar. 2020 was the year of the sheep. I had no idea all that would mean before pandemic unfolded. 2021 was the year of the fawn. 2022 was the year of the questions. And 2023 has been and is the year of the sequoia. The seeds of that were planted during my time in the groves of California. The next day, after visiting the General Grant tree in Kings Canyon National Park, I stood beneath the General Sherman tree in Sequoia National Park. The General Sherman is the largest tree in the world. It is estimated to be 2,200 years old, which means it was already close to 200 feet tall when Jesus took his first steps on planet Earth. Now here's a mind-boggling truth. With the exception of a trip to Egypt when he was a baby, Jesus never left his native country. He never left the area we know today as the Holy Land. So did he know the tree that would later be named the General Sherman Sequoia? Did he know it existed? Well, yes, he did. Because according to Colossians 1:15-17, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Talk about astounding mystery. Jesus not only knew of the General Sherman tree, but he planted it. He created the tree that grew the cone, that held the seed, that fell into the ground, that yielded the world's largest tree, before he came to earth as a man, as our Savior. While hiking through Crescent Meadow on my birthday last year, I found a sequoia cone. I was expecting something large. I was surprised to discover I could hold that cone between my thumb and index finger. When you stop to consider that something so huge can come out of something so small, but it gets smaller than that, for each cone contains about 230 seeds, and each mature sequoia can produce 3 billion to 4 billion seeds during the course of its lifetime. Our imaginings of the dreams God gives us are vastly underestimated to what God intends. When the Holy Spirit dubbed this year of my life as the year of the sequoia, I had no idea I would be returning this year to see sequoias again. Not once, but twice. First, back in April, when my nephew and his bride were married right outside of Sequoia National Park. And in about 3 weeks, I'm headed towards Yosemite, where several other sequoia groves await my discovery. Now, that's the physical side of things. The spiritual side is even more impressive. A major shift seems to be taking place within me, taking place within ministry. It all started back in February when I walked into a women's pregnancy center to apply for a job. They were launching a new school program to go into the schools in Montgomery, Alabama, and teach sex education to middle schoolers. My educational background is youth ministry, so I walked into that job interview with that position in mind. But the executive director of the clinic pivoted on me midway through the process with another proposal that not only did I not see coming, I didn't even know this type of ministry existed. When you think of a pregnancy center, you normally think of ministering to women, to mothers. What you may not know is just a few years back, women's centers across the country have started ministering to fathers as well. I prayed about the pivot being presented to me, and immediately I realized what a colossal opportunity it is to speak into someone's life at what very well may be for them a moment of crisis. I felt God lead me to take the position. The vision of the year of the sequoia was already set. I just did not know how the Spirit intended to flesh that out. I am learning. I'm still learning. I am marveling. I have been exhausted. I have been wrung out and sprung up. I am a father's first coordinator. I am a fatherhood coach. I work with dads. I am in awe. Almost immediately upon taking that position, I remembered that little sequoia cone. So much potential in such a little package. And I thought about the challenge being presented to young fathers. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands." And from that verse, God refined his vision statement. We're encouraging fathers to plant seeds of faithfulness with potential to bless for 1,000 generations. A pattern is emerging in my life. whether serving as a chaplain in a downtown mission like I did in Birmingham for 19 months, or serving as I am now as a fatherhood coach, the common denominator is this. I am called to serve men in crisis. Why was I chosen for this? Because I know what it is to be a man in crisis. I have to go no further within than my last 12 years. A Charlie Peacock song is on my September playlist right now. The song is In the Light, and I live the lyric, I am still a man in need of a Savior. I haven't grown out of that need. I have not somehow perfected it. That's Jesus' work. My part is to surrender daily, hourly, second by second, and I'm still working on that. So, preaching and teaching God's Word is still my number one spiritual gift, and the one thing I most enjoy, because God chose me for that. I didn't choose myself. And I still feel a strong calling that 2023 and beyond is to also be about teaching the Beatitudes wherever I'm given the opportunity. And now, the new edition of Encouraging Men in Crisis. For me, all of this is still a work in progress. Or as Ted Lasso would say, a work in progress. We all want to write our own stories, don't we? And the really foolish thing is, we think we do. We're willing to let God be our editor. We may even imagine Jesus as our co-author, but none of that is true. He is the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 11:2. I think that has been my greatest challenge this season. I envisioned God leading things one way this year, and He said, no, we're taking this trail over here. I've known this truth for a long time. I wrote these words a dozen years ago, and they are inscribed in my prayer notebook on the last page. Let the author write the story. Let the composer score the song. Let the impressionist smother the canvas with paint. Let the potter spin the clay. Trust God. He's still telling your story. You would be crazy not to. We open today with a song by John Mark McMillan. The song is The Road, the Rocks, and the Weeds. We listened to these lyrics already. Come down from the stars, show your human scars. Tell me what it's like to believe. Through my Christ-haunted thoughts that the losses you bought are the nights that you peopled with your dreams. Well, I've got no answers for heartbreaks or cancers, but a Savior who suffers them with me. Singing goodbye, Olympus, the heart of my Maker, is spread out on the road, the rocks, and the weeds. Come down from your mountain, your high-rise apartment, and tell me of the God you know who bleeds. And what to tell my daughter when she asks so many questions, and I fail to feel her heaviness with peace. When I've got no answers for hurt knees or cancers, but a Savior who suffers them with me. Singing, goodbye, Olympus, the heart of my Maker is spread out on the road, the rocks, and the weeds. And Aphrodite would not weep, nor Zeus would suffer for the weak. But have you come to stand inside my pain? And all the things I begged you for, eternity and evermore, are hidden with me here beneath the rain. And now, in the conclusion of that song, here's the reference to sequoias. So shall I plant sequoias and revel in the soil of a crop I know I'll never live to reap. Then sow my body to my Maker and my heart unto my Savior and spread me on the road, the rocks, and the weeds. John Mark McMillan. Until next time, We'll see you here at the table.
So shall I plant sequoias and revel in the soil of a crop I know I'll never leave to reap, and sell my body to my maker and my heart unto my savior, and spread me on the road, the rocks and the weeds, spread me on the road.